Very good morning to you all, and welcome to day 4 of our 12 days reflections towards Easter. Today is Friday, 3rd April 2020. My text for reflection is Luke 11, 1 to 13. It's a very long passage and I won't read it to you, but we'll move on to my reflection on prayer. The Bible is full of examples of people of God at prayer. In Genesis 18, Abraham interceded for Sodom. In 1 Kings 3, 5 to 14, Solomon prayed for wisdom. Psalm 22 is a prayer of desperation, which was later repeated by Jesus as he died on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? And Jesus Christ, despite the busy and demanding nature of his public ministry, withdrew from it regularly in order to spend time with his Heavenly Father in prayer. No wonder the apostles were impressed by the place of prayer in the life of their Master, and they came to him one day and said, "Lord, teach us to pray like that." So he taught them what we now call the Lord's Prayer, and then went on to show how merciful God was in answering prayer when we pray in faith. Notice firstly that the Lord's Prayer covers all facets of life. It covers present need. It tells us to pray for our daily bread. This goes back to the old story of the manna in the wilderness, recorded at Exodus 16, 11 to 21. Only enough for the needs of the day might be gathered. We are not to worry about the unknown future, but to live a day at a time. Then it covers past sin. When we pray, we cannot do other than pray for forgiveness. For the best of us is a sinful man or woman coming before the purity of God. Then it covers future trials. Temptation means any testing and trying situation. It includes far more than the mere seduction to sin. It covers every situation, which is a test of a person's integrity and fidelity. We cannot escape it, but we can meet it with God. Jesus then moves on from the scope of prayer to assuring his disciples that God will always answer when we pray. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. He relates the parable of the persistent friend who went on knocking until his friend attended to him. What Jesus says is, if an unwilling householder can in the end be coerced by a friend's shameless persistence into giving him what he needs, how much more will God, who is a loving Father, supply all his children's needs? If you, he says, who are evil, know that you are bound to supply your children's needs, how much more will God? I wonder whether there is somebody listening to this to me this morning in whose life there is something you are praying for and you are not getting an answer from God. I am not thinking of selfish things, your hope for a big salary or pension, or for more electronic gadgets or a bigger car. I am thinking of other things that are plainly in the will of God for you and which will bring glory to God in your life. That is to say, you badly want victory over some sin or weakness that plagues you, or you are yearning for reconciliation with somebody from whom you are estranged, or you want to know the will of God in some particular situation in your life, or your family, or the church, or the world that seems increasingly confusing. Maybe you are anxious to be given greater courage to witness for Christ at home or at work, or you need perseverance in a task that you are finding unpleasant. Here are things that are plainly in the will of God for you. So we ask why these things that we desire are eluding us. Well, I want to ask further, is the reason much simpler than you have ever allowed yourself to believe? We haven't received these things for the simple reason that we haven't asked them, or we haven't gone on asking for them with due Christian perseverance. We haven't found them because we haven't sought them, and the door has never been opened because our knock upon it has been too feeble. That is what the Apostle James echoes very simply. You do not have because you do not ask. Is that so for some of us this morning? I honestly think it is for many Christian people. Or as an alternative, is our conscience clear that if this thing we want that is according to the will of God continues to elude us, then it must not be because we have not prayed enough, but because for some reason God has not seen fit to give it to us. We need to understand that God does not undertake to grant every prayer that we ask or that we pray in spite of his promises. God's promises of answered prayer are not absolutes. If God was ready to give us everything we ask in exactly the same way and on the same terms as some evangelical Christians assert, then it would turn Christian prayer into magic and God into our slave. I don't know what kind of problem you have in your life. Is it frustration, bereavement, sickness, unemployment? It may be a multitude of things, but let me remind you of the power of prevailing prayer. Abraham pleading for Sodom, Jacob wrestling in the stillness of the night, Moses standing in the beach, Hannah intoxicated with sorrow, David heartbroken with remorse and grief, Jesus in sweat of blood. Such prayer prevails. It turns ordinary mortals into men and women of power. R.A. Torrey suggested that when the devil sees a man or woman who believes in prayer, who knows how to pray, and who really does pray, and above all, when he sees a whole church on its face before God in prayer, he trembles as much as he ever did, for he knows that this day in that church or community is at an end. God our Father, teach us how to pray, and teach us to be patient in prayer. We want to pray this morning, O Father, for your church. We want to pray also for those who are struggling in one way or the other in their lives. We pray that our homes may be places of peace and light, that our relationships may reflect joy and love, that our faith may fill our homes and our actions, and that we may work for peace and goodwill. We pray for all who are brought low by disease or sickness, for those who have been taken into care this week, for all who are terminally ill. We pray for those who are suffering from the COVID-19 coronavirus. We pray for the hospice movement and for all who care for the dying. We remember all who have lost loved ones this week. We pray that we may be strong in our faith to the last. We pray for all who have died in faith, who know Christ and the power of the resurrection, for all who now share in his victory over the grave. May we live as those who believe and trust in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection to life everlasting, that we may know Christ and the power of his resurrection. We end our morning reflection as we sing the hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Oh,
this hand serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look kindly on you and give you peace.